Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
All right, let me grab a microphone here. Welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Coming to you live once again from the Mercury Free Studio Complex. And please don't forget, for the very best in general dentistry, health center dentistry, and most important, Mercury Free Dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about and get his book, Mercury Free. I tell you what, it's worth every cent you pay for it many times over. All right. And as I said, we're coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And we have the phone number. It's the same as always, 407-774-8255. So feel free to pick that thing up and give us a call at that number. Got a big show lined up for you once again tonight, folks. Hope you're going to sit back and enjoy it, whether you are in your car or stuck on I-4 or wherever, or at home or at work. We want to thank you for being there. I am Christopher Hart. Dr. Ken Vihek is on his way. Talk about stuck in traffic. He's heading over here from the university. And we also have once again in the studio this afternoon with us the Legal Immigrants for America founders. And that would, of course, be Paula Hansberger, Amapola Hansberger, and Chris Kassler. Hey, guys, how you doing tonight?
Hi, Chris.
Wonderful. Hi, Chris.
Right. Good evening.
We're kind of getting all the microphones adjusted here. All right, so thanks for being with us, you guys. And, of course, you got a great big weekend coming up this weekend.
We certainly do.
Pastor Rafael Cruz coming into town tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And we still have some seats available at Tuscarawilla Country Club if some people want to come and join us for that event.
And that's going to be real special because not only do you get a good lunch out of the deal, but, of course, you'll be having lunch with Pastor Cruz and you'll be able to get up close and personal with him. Yeah. And the cost for that is $25 per plate unless you are a pastor and can RSVP between now and tomorrow. And you go to golifa.com in order to do that. That's golifa.com, golifa.com. And this is going to be a rare moment to meet Pastor Cruz. And it may be the only time you get a chance to do this, at least before the election next year, because this man is in high demand.
Mm-hmm. He certainly is.
Very much.
Yeah, and this weekend, and that's just one of the events. Now, do you still have seating in the other two events at the Aloma Church?
We certainly do.
Okay.
Aloma Church accommodates a ton of people.
Okay. All right. So you can go to golifa.com. Now, the Aloma Church is, those events are tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. He's going to be speaking at the Aloma Church, and that's at 1815 State Road 436 Winter Park. So it's real easy to find. It's right there, just pretty close to Lake Howell Drive.
Yes.
Right, on 436 between Lake Howell and Aloma.
And Aloma, that's right. So it's real easy to find, big church. And once again, this is a pretty rare opportunity. And certainly if you have the time, you need to take advantage of this. He is a fascinating man. A little bit later on in the show. Now, as I said, we played his interview in its entirety on the Sunday night show. And you can visit our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and check our archive. And we've been playing little excerpts of it this week. We'll play another one today. But he's just a fascinating man. And guess what? He doesn't use a teleprompter.
He's not politically correct either.
Oh, no. This man has got it going, folks. and he'll get you going.
You find out where Ted Cruz gets it. This is the beauty of the whole thing, is you see the apple tree and you know what the apple's like. So the two together are quite a combination.
Yeah, absolutely. And his father actually, I believe, shows a little more passion.
He does.
Ted himself can get pretty passionate, but Pastor Cruz, you know, he turns it up.
Yes, he does. He certainly does. We're looking forward to it very much.
Well, having been in jail and tortured because he wanted to be free has something to do with his passion.
That'll get you motivated. And, of course, we're talking about when he was in Cuba as a young man. And this wasn't under Castro. This was under Batista. So there's a long history of repression in that country down there. And it's unfortunate that our president has finally decided for himself that it's finally time for us to just give in to the oppression down
right.
there.
Right. And
yes,
the prisoners
true.
Of war stayed in prison. They
well,
were not released.
Yeah, what she's talking about is when the Pope came to town, they made a ballyhooed a bunch about stories about, oh, they released 3,500 prisoners down there. These were petty thieves and burglars and things of that nature. These were not political prisoners.
No.
Well, and they prevented the dissidents, even people who had legitimate things to say, from getting anywhere near the Pope.
Right.
Same thing that happened when John Kerry was there before, when we announced that we were going to resume diplomatic relations.
Yeah.
Nobody from the dissident community was invited to any of those ceremonies.
That's right. So it's a charade that's going on down there, and this Pope is playing right into it. Yes, I do know John Boehner has announced that he's going to resign today, and we'll be talking about that during the show today. But now the big question, as far as that goes, is who is going to replace him? And that's where I think it's going to get pretty interesting, because our very own Dan Webster
yes.
has popped up as a very likely candidate.
Yes.
And I think he's the right man for the job.
I agree.
You
of course,
know,
there's also perfect. Talk of him losing his district with the redistricting.
Well, that's as a matter of fact, that is the case, that his district would change pretty dramatically in terms of the demographics if... And once again, they're having to go back and redraw. So we don't know exactly what it's going to look like at the end of the day. And should he get the speakership of the House, I don't know if that could affect it or not. But if the redistricting plan that they came up with here recently had passed, his demographic would change pretty dramatically. And as a matter of fact... a local Democrat has already announced that she's Jerry Deming's wife, Val
yes,
Deming's.
Val Deming's
has
right.
announced the former police chief of Orlando, wife of Jerry Deming's, sheriff of Orange County, and she toyed with the idea of running against him before, I believe, and either lost or didn't end up running. I forget.
I think she lost, but you know, isn't she famous for having left her pistol in her car outside her house and having it stolen?
Well, we're not going to talk about that. We don't want to embarrass the lady.
Come on, we want a little gun control here, especially among the police department.
Well, she was only the chief of police. I mean, you know, we can't hold her to very high standards. But yeah, that's the same. And it is very interesting. Louis Gohmert, an outspoken conservative from Texas, is really pushing hard that Dan Webster be the next Speaker of the House.
He'd be perfect. We have a connection to him because of our work with legal immigrants. There's a young man named Shahzad Gil who's here. He's a Pakistani.
Yep.
I don't know if you've interviewed him, but
yes, he's been on the show.
Right. And he he started some clinics in Pakistan in villages. And two of his associates and friends were murdered by the Taliban, and Shahzad himself escaped with his life. He's here seeking asylum, and he's left his family behind in Pakistan, and Dan Webster's helping in that effort.
And the man is very principled. I mean, you're not going to find a man of higher principles than Dan Webster. He was, if you remember, if you've been around Florida long enough, he was the Speaker of the House here in Florida. And when Lawton Chiles was the governor of Florida, as a matter of fact.
That far back.
Yeah, and Lawton Chiles was a diehard Democrat, baby. I mean, he was a Democrat as they come. And, of course, Jeb Bush replaced Lawton Chiles. I forget the lieutenant governor who stepped in when Childs died, because remember, he died on his exercise horse or something like that when he was still governor.
He should have stayed walking.
Walking Lawton, yep. And that's, if you don't know what he's talking about, when Lawton Childs first started his political career here in Florida, he literally walked the length of the state in order to get to know people, you know, face to face. And he didn't literally walk from end to end, but he walked quite a bit. And I think his boots are somewhere in a museum somewhere.
It was a great stunt.
It was a great. You're right. And it's the kind of thing that, say, maybe somebody like Donald Trump or somebody like might do these days. Walken Lawton was a very, he was also a senator, a Florida senator for a while, but he was a very Democratic governor. And Dan Webster was able to be an effective Speaker of the House.
Yeah. I like helicopters better.
They do sport you around in style.
I think she's talking about Donald Trump. Yeah, I'm not sure, though.
Indeed, yeah, he goes in style. But it's that kind of political genius, if you will, you see, that can connect with the common person. And, and this is what the intelligentsia don't seem to get in the Republican Party, including commentators like Michael Medved, who seem to be so obsessed with Donald Trump and are just so anxious to take such delight in his downfall, as though that would be something great for our political system. Look, Donald Trump may not be the right guy for the presidency, but how about let us decide for a change? Okay, guys?
Yes.
All right? Let us decide. It's not up to you to decide for us what is best for us. And if we want to drink some poison, that's our choice. Because I tell you what, we've been getting stuck with some poison. And John Boehner leaving, that's good news.
Makes me want to boo-hoo cry.
Doesn't it, though? it just wants to, you know, the tears just want to flow. But the thing with John Boehner, and I'm going to pick this up on the other side, is because, you know, there are those who think that Boehner did a great job and, oh, he's cut the budget deficit and all of that. Well, yes, the budget deficit has gone down. But it has not had a lot to do with cuts. But the cuts that have been made in the government came from the wrong place. The defense budget.
Yep.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, boy, we're a whole lot better off, aren't we? No, we ain't. And we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. 407-774-8255 is the number. Do you have a better alternative than Dan Webster to replace John Boehner? Let us know. All right, we're back. It's Friday afternoon. I hope you're ready for a big weekend, folks. Just had a downpour here in Altamont Springs, so be careful if you're heading out on the roads. You might find some wet stuff out there. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart here along with Amapola Hansberger and Chris Kassler from the Legal Immigrants for America. Don't forget to take part of this great exclusive event this weekend with Pastor Rafael Cruz. And we'll get back to that in just a moment. I want to make another comment or two about John Boehner. Then I'm going to take some phone calls, and you can be a part of this show, too, at 407-774-8255. And that is this. There's more here than meets the eye, I think. Real quick, as far as who's going to replace John Boehner, I would love to see Daniel Webster. And he does have a little bit of support. I don't know if it's enough to make it happen, but there are some procedural things that can be done, evidently, that can help him out along the way. But certainly, Kevin McCarthy is going to expect that the job is his. Who is Kevin McCarthy? Well, he's basically second in line. He was the majority leader, not the Speaker of the House, but the majority leader of the Republican caucus. And he would normally be the second in line should Boehner have walked out under scandal or something like that. But this is different. Boehnership's not just Boehner, but Boehner's leadership coalition, if you will, is what's really been called into question here. And that was what was facing a mutiny of sorts. There was a bit of a growing mutiny in the House, and that's part of, and Boehner admitted that today as part of why he wanted to get, this wasn't about him. It was about the institution. Give me a break. No, here's what it was about. The Republican Party is in full panic right now. Donald Trump and Ben Carson now, too, you know, because of his comments about Muslims not being president. They are persona non grata, and in a big, big way. And the establishment is panicking. They just listen to Michael Medved for a little while and tell me if that man is not obsessed and panicky over the idea of Donald Trump actually being president of this great nation, as though he doesn't have what it takes. Let me tell you something. If Barack Obama has what it takes, any one of us has what it takes.
Yes.
All right? What it really takes is the smarts to know that you don't know everything, that you will look for smart people to help you out. And then you will task them with doing it. And if they don't do it, you will fire them and get somebody else who will.
Exactly.
Because no one person can do everything that the presidency requires. So let's get over this business about Donald Trump isn't qualified. No, the people who say that aren't qualified to say that.
Was it they called him an apprentice?
That's right. That was Scott Walker. Where is he now?
Ah, see you later.
Yeah, fired.
Can't walk.
Yeah, he got fired because he didn't understand the premise of the apprentice, which Donald Trump never was the apprentice, you doofus. He was picking him.
Yes.
And he showed you how to pick smart people. If you ever watch that show, generally speaking, the best one was the one who got chosen as the apprentice,
That was the whole point.
All right.
John Boehner got the phone call that Scott Walker got. I told you all about this. So it was about a week ago. What, Scott Walker? Here's how the phone call went. Hey, John, how you doing tonight? Man, that was a great thing today with the Pope. Yeah, I saw you wiping your eyes. I know. Yeah, it was real emotional. That's wonderful, John. But things ain't going so well. You know, yeah, that Trump guy. Yeah, he's a big thorn in our side. We got to get rid of this man. He cannot win the nomination. And so, John, here's what we're going to need you to do. See, because part of the problem we have is that you guys don't have a great reputation as leading the Congress. Now, we think you're doing a great job. We love you to death. Just listen to Michael Medved. We love you, man. But the problem is that bunch of morons out there, that the gun-clinging, Bible-clinging freaks, they don't get it. So we got to bow down to them, and unfortunately, you're such a great guy, we're going to have to call on you to fall on your sword. Yeah, tomorrow would be fine. Yeah, great. Yeah, we'll see you in Kennebunkport. Thanks a lot, John. We will not forget this. And then they move on. And Mr. McConnell,
yes,
you might want to have me looking over your shoulder, sir. And don't answer your phone when it starts ringing. Let somebody else pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm afraid, I'd be delighted should you get the call.
Oh, yes.
Because here's something that guys like Michael Medved don't get. In politics, yes, my friend, sometimes it is better to take a stand, even if you think you might lose. Because guess what? In politics, anything can happen. And when you take a stand, even if you think you're going to lose, you might actually end up winning. But how will you ever know if you never take a stand? And even if you lose, people will respect you for having taken a stand. And as far as shutting the government goes, the longer the government stays shut, the more the pressure transfers from the Congress to the president.
Mm-hmm.
Because it only takes one president to change his mind to solve the whole problem.
Mm.
And if Congress is good at communicating, they will go to the floor of the Congress, of the House and the Senate, every day and spend all day long on the single sole topic of why they are shutting the government down, and that is the butchering of babies in our United States of America, which the Pope didn't even mention.
No, he did not.
All right. Eva, Craig, and Mike, I'm going to have to ask you to stay on the line because I've talked too much like I usually do, and we're out of time in this half hour. Otherwise, I'd have Nick extend the break, but I can't do it, so stay with me, please. I'll pick your phone calls up first thing on the other side. Chris Kassler, Amapola Hansberger of Legal Immigrants of America are going to stay with us, so if you have any questions for them and about immigration, we would love to discuss that topic, too. Once again, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And that's right, the Apopka Blue Darters are playing tonight right up the road here in Apopka. They're going to be playing, I think, is it University High? University High. And that coverage kicks off at 7 o'clock on our sister station, 1520 WBZW. Make sure you tune it in. The Darters are on a roll.
One down, one to go. Another town, one more show. Downtown, you're giving away, but you never came back. No phone to take your place.
All right.
You know what I mean.
All right, well, you know, we have just heard the news that Mr. Boehner will no longer be with us, so, wow. One down, one to go. Thanks to Yes there.
One down, one to go. That's right. Well, now all we got to do is get rid of old Mitchie boy.
Oh, yeah.
Mitchie boy McConnell. And maybe we can get something done while we still have a little power.
You know, I was wondering, is it possible to have a lame duck leader, majority leader of the Senate and majority leader of the House? Because these guys have been lame ducks ever since Obama got elected.
I was going to say they've been lame ducks ever since they climbed out of the womb.
Talk about having no leadership anywhere.
No, and this argument that now if we just wait till we get a get a Republican in the White House.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem with that. And Michael Medved at least recognized this today. It's going to be very difficult for the Republicans to hold on to the Senate.
Yeah,
you got to move when you got something to move with.
One of the things that was most telling was when we actually had a majority in the House, we had a majority in the Senate, and we had the presidency.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we don't want to push anything through because we don't want to upset the Democrats in case they get back into power and do these things to us.
Oh, that's right.
It's like, no, you have it. You've got the bully pulpit. Lead.
Exactly.
That's right. And if you lead, guess what? People will follow
you. People will follow.
If you don't lead, people are going to turn away from you, and that's exactly what's happened to John Boehner.
They were like a football team that had a huge lead going into the fourth quarter and decided to coast.
Yep, that's right. That's right, folks. That is Dr. K. Dr. Ken Vihek has joined us in the studio today.
Hi, guys.
And we'll be talking about his well, what should we call this?
Exploits.
Okay. and we got a new twist in the story tonight.
Yeah.
We'll fill you in on that a little bit. Chris Kassler and Amapola Hansberger of Legal Immigrants for America are sitting in with us tonight. And once again, folks, please take advantage of this opportunity this weekend to hear and see and meet Pastor Rafael Cruz. You have three opportunities: tomorrow night at 6, Saturday morning at 9:30, and Sunday, once again, tomorrow at 6, Sunday morning at 9:30, and then Sunday again at 1. You can take advantage of this. And it's a free Saturday night and Sunday morning, $25 only for Sunday at 1, because that's lunch. And it's a great lunch at Tuscarawas Country Club. Go to golifa.com. And there are a few tickets left, but you need to make that reservation. Golifa.com. All right, I want to go to the phone calls. They've been patiently waiting. Let's start with Eva. Eva, are you broken up that John Boehner is not going to be the Speaker of the House? And by the way, this is going to be a Halloween treat because he's not going to do it until the end of October. So trick or treat on us, right?
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Boo-hoo. Well, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
I heard about Danny. I urge you, help us know how to get Danny in there.
Well, are you in, first of all, are you in Dan Webster's district?
I used to be, but now I'm in No Man's district because they're fighting over it. And well, I've been following the fight, and I asked everybody, watch what the Democrats are doing. Turn on channel 458 at 9 a.m. on Monday, and you will see. I've been following all this, and it starts with District 26 and 27. It's down there where Homestead is.
Yeah, real quick, what Eva's talking about is watching how they're redrawing these districts.
And we need somebody besides me to watch it because I'm taking as many notes as I can.
Yeah.
But there's better if you've got more ears listening.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing, they're getting ready for 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. There's no question about it.
And they've got our eyes on something else.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, and you, I don't want to ask you what that else something else is, but I think that the Florida Republicans would just as soon give Dan Webster the Allen West treatment, and that is draw a district that it would be virtually impossible for him to be reelected.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree, and it probably that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, but hopefully that won't happen. But
now, there's people like you and I that can make a difference because I'm tired of living on the plantation.
Yeah, well, as far as people in the audience, one thing you can do is call your congressman if you live in.
What if you don't have any?
Well, you call any of them. I mean, call Alan Grayson.
Yeah, okay.
And tell him you don't want. I mean, Alan Grayson would be more than happy to screw with the establishment of the Republican Party. I'll guarantee you that. So,
okay.
When you call him, speak slowly.
And you use short words, small words.
Yeah, he can't endure it. I just want you to urge you all that when this fight starts, and is it supposed to start next week?
No, it started last night.
Well,
when the rumors
just heard about it today.
I know, but the rumors were going around evidently last night. This is why John Boehner, you know, as he's given us this sad sob story about it's not about him, it's about the institution. And he said that he just happened to go home last night. He wakes up this morning and he prays, and all of a sudden he decides that he's going to get out. No. This has been, you know, somebody's been working on this, and it was already rumored last night something like this was going to happen.
Well, do you know that Ted Cruz said he made a deal with Obama and Nancy Pelosi about funding the government before he made his statement today?
Oh, yeah, that deal has already been made. When they said that they would not shut the government down, the deal was basically sealed at that point.
Yeah.
And so then that's why he's gone. But once again, this is, I believe, a desperate move by the Republican Party. They would just soon keep him there. They were happy with him.
Yeah, because they'll feed us some crumbs every once in a while.
Yeah. All right, Eva, got to let you go. Thanks for the call. All right, let's go next to Craig. Craig, thank you for your call tonight.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Howdy.
I just wanted to do a little update on what Russia's doing with Syria. Syria is Russia's neighbor, so it'd be kind of like Mexico to us.
Well, they're not really neighbors, but they're a protectorate. Let's call it that.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, Russia has moved in over 20 advanced fighter jets. They've moved in a lot of tanks. And their tank is actually better than the A1 Abrams in a couple of ways. Their targeting system is very good, and they're about 2 or 3 feet shorter in height than an A1 Abrams. And so anyway, I think what's going on is we're trying to be split up with Russia, the Islamic people, whoever that is. They're trying to get a fight between the United States and Russia going so that the Islamics around the world can just take over the world. You know, we're unbeatable if we are allied with Russia and China like we were in World War II.
Right.
So anyway, I just wanted to say that. And then an alarming poll was that Joe Biden beats almost every single candidate.
Yeah, I reported that last night. Yeah.
Other than Rand Paul.
Well, actually, he tied Ben Carson, but the problem with Rand Paul is
Rand Paul in that one.
Yeah, but Rand Paul, he's fading fast. Yeah, but you're right, and certainly the Russians are increasing their presence across the Middle East, not just in Syria, but also in Iran and Saudi Arabia. They'll talk to anybody. You know, the devil will do business with anybody, and that's what we see going on here. The devil is on both sides of that argument, though, both Putin and the Muslims.
Right. The colonel that you have on, I can't remember his name.
Danny McKnight.
Yeah. He's a little bit hawkish, but I really hope he understands that the Islamics are behind this fight against Russia. Russia needs a little bit more territory because Russia is going after the Islamics.
Well, It's sort of, and believe me, he understands the situation. I mean, he's been over there a number of times, and I'm talking about Afghanistan and
right.
Iraq. But what you have going on with the Russians and Muslims right now is the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they all hate us. So for right now, they're willing to team up with one another. But Vladimir Putin, he wants to control the world too, you know, and he has designs on doing just that and using the Muslims as his puppets. It is a volatile situation.
I think you have that a little bit wrong.
How's that?
Russia is going after, he's fighting the Muslims.
Yes and no.
The Muslims are trying to take over.
Yeah, he has a problem with Islamic terrorism as well. But right now, he sees advantage in siding with them against us. Once he takes care of us, then he'll move against them. But once again, it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right, but you got it a little bit wrong. We're supplying ISIS, and Russia is against ISIS.
Yeah, I understand. But what's going on here, and I'm going to have to let you go after this, but what's going on here is basically the ancient feud amongst Muslims between the Shia and the Sunni. And so there's this complicated sort of dance going on. We'll support one side, not the other. But let me tell you something. Russia is willing to use both sides against us. And at the end of the day, that's what's going on. And we need to be careful because we're still conducting airstrikes in Syria. And what's going to happen when we run up against one of these Russian squadrons of jets is going to be the big question. Craig?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, I understand. And we're being played, just like Donald says, for fools.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Craig. We appreciate it. We'll get back to the phones there in a moment. We'll take a break. Once again, thanks for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
This is another one of those Goodbye Boehner songs.
Sold me down the river.
It's always been doing ever since he took the chair.
Folks, some of you may not know that Ken has run for office. He's run for the House, U.S. Yeah. House. You think about doing it again.
Yeah, thinking about doing it again.
But your father was
Uncle.
Your uncle was a congressman for how many years?
28 years. Yeah, so, I've got two cousins that are drawing retirement checks from companies they never worked for. Because my uncle was from Western Pennsylvania, and that's solid Democratic, you know, territory. And
right.
Yeah, it's...
So you know you kind of firsthand how the games are played.
I do. I watched it my whole life growing up. And my godfather, who was also another one of my uncles, was a state senator in Pennsylvania for two terms. You know, and just the conversations around the holiday dinner tables would just make you want to just go find a garbage can and throw up.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the opposition to Boehner in the Republican caucus wasn't so much disagreements on policy, sometimes not even strategy or tactics.
Yeah.
It was the way he treated people.
Yeah.
He was like a little tin pot dictator.
Yep.
And by the way, they're lamenting that 100 people are going to lose their jobs when he resigns. And I'm thinking, this guy needs 100 people to help him do his job? What are we paying him for?
Yeah, really.
Just fire him and we'll just keep the other 100, right?
Well, you know, and the way it works with the allotment system in D.C., when you get certain rankings, you get a certain amount of extra money for your budget for your office. The more terms you have, the more money you get to run your office. If you're, you know, a five-term, you know, congressman, you're going to have a lot more office space just by selection alone.
Right.
You're going to have a bigger staff, and you're going to have more duties. And then when you get those duties, then they allocate more money for more employees.
Nice little vicious cycle.
It really is. It's amazing to watch.
All right. So we'll obviously be following this. John Boehner has announced he's going to step down. That's going to be our Halloween treat. And Dan Webster is least in the running, it appears, to replace him. We'd love to see that happen. Of course, the establishment is going to push back real hard. They're going to want to put Kevin McCarthy in there. He's the number two man as it is right now. And basically, they're just going to want to move everybody into leadership up one notch. We've got to try to stop them from doing that.
Yeah.
what we're doing right now with now that this is going on, but also with Donald Trump, is we're exercising our authority,
yeah,
if you will, as the people, as the ones who actually run the show, to say to those who think that they run the show, because we've been allowing them to be honest with you, that no, I think we're going to take over the reins again for a little while.
Time for us to take back the power.
Right. And we can do it, mm-hmm, or we can sit idly by and not do it. You know, God bless people like Eva. I mean, she spends her time. She could spend her time, what, sitting there on the internet doing this or that, or she could spend her time in her garden, or what, but she spends a lot of her time listening to shows like this, watching on television, trying to keep it. This is where we all need to be right now. If we focus right now, we can make some huge strides in taking this nation back from the elite ruling class that does rule it. And by the way, 72% of Americans agree with that.
Wow.
And you wonder where guys like Donald Trump get their support,
yeah,
and why it's coming. This is from today's Orlando Sentinel. Poll reflects mood ripe for non-politicians' rise. Americans are fed up with politics, suspect the wealthy are getting an unfair edge, and think the country is going in the wrong direction, according to a new Bloomberg poll. 72% of Americans think their country isn't as great as it once was. I mean,
sadly,
who can argue
you have to agree with that.
Yeah. And so if that's the case, who do you look to for responsibility? Mm-hmm. It's the people that we have been putting in charge to take care of business.
Yeah.
And if they're not doing it or not doing it effectively, well, then they need to go.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, we need to enact our own version of term limits and not vote them in again.
Absolutely. Let's go to Mike on the line. Mike, thanks for holding so long. I appreciate you being out there.
Thank you very much for letting me join your program. It's always been a great program.
Thank you.
I have a challenge for your two guests, and I will get to the challenge in a minute, but I want to make an observation first. The immigrants are flooding Europe, as we all know, and people feel sorry for them. But the thing I want to observe is, why are they leaving? You know, everybody thinks the fix is to get them settled in Europe, but the fix isn't to that at all, but to say, why are they leaving? Well, they're fleeing Muslim countries where Muslims are fighting each other, and Muslims are telling us Islam is a religion of peace. Islam means prosperity. They're called a prayer. Prayer really is come to prosperity. That is nonsense. Now, I'm going to make Chris and Paula say that they are not for all legal immigrants. I'll do that in a second. Here's a trick. Obama's bringing in 150 or 100 more of these Muslim immigrants. They will be legal immigrants. Do you support that?
No. You talk about 150,000. Go ahead.
No, yeah. Because Obama is a lawbreaker, and he will twist things. A legal immigrant is someone that goes through a very rigorous process,
yeah,
but Obama is stretching it and allowing his favorite people, the Muslims, to invade our country. No matter
Absolutely.
How, he gives them automatic residency, and they will be allowed to vote. So
yes,
that's a problem.
That's a problem. Big, major problem, right? And
yes,
they're going to be called legal, too.
They will be.
But your organization is going to want to obviously highlight that as well.
We certainly oppose that. Of course, this isn't following the laws, as Paula pointed out.
Yes.
A true legal immigrant goes through a lengthy process of background checks and verification and promises not to go on welfare and God knows what else. Well, this is not what these people are up to.
Well,
amen.
Do you
amen.
Know how they're going to get here, these people that they're going to be bringing in? What mechanism they're going to be bringing them in?
They're already coming in, and they're using chartered airplanes.
And they have come in since Obama was elected, and they give them money. They give them free health. They give them, in order for them to go to work and be hired before they hire other legal immigrants citizens, incentivize the employers.
The other bad thing, they're not dispersing them at all. They're putting them in big clusters.
Yeah, they're concentrating them.
1,000 here. They're all over.
Yeah. Well, wow. You know, we've got, you know, nests, you know, in Lewiston, Maine, and St. Paul, Minnesota, for example, that are known to be terrorist havens.
Right.
Of course, the great irony is that you've got all these desert nomads taking up residence in very, very cold cities.
Right.
Who knew?
Yeah. See, what Obama's doing is he's actually taking a good program and he's using it for bad reasons. Mm-hmm. In other words, we take in the limit this year is, I think, 65,000. These are supposed to be people seeking a political asylum who are actually being persecuted. People like who maybe escaped from, let's just say, religious persecution in Cuba.
The Christians.
Exactly. Like,
exactly.
They're those. Exactly.
They're persecuted.
Right.
Yeah.
But this isn't the case. And so he's misusing this program. That's what we're talking about, folks, when we say he's breaking the law. This is not to be used for immigrants who are just fleeing from a bad situation. It's supposed to be because their life is endangered and threatened. And in fact, it's going to be our lives that are endangered and threatened by this mass invasion, a soft invasion, I call it, but an invasion nonetheless.
Hydra is the word.
Hydra. All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you being out there, and thanks for the call. We'll be around for another hour of the show, and I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break.
Intelligent Conservative, FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs.
Ladies and gentlemen!
All right, he's picking and we're grinning.
BR5490, you want to join the conversation?
All right, that is Grant Malloy. Welcome back to the show, folks. Nowhere, I guarantee you, nowhere else are you going to get the stuff that we do here American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
And not only over here, but it gets us in trouble everywhere.
Gets you in trouble, not me.
It gets me in trouble, yeah.
All right. All right, not
Thank
bad,
you, Grant. All right. Woo.
Not bad, all right.
Thanks, Chris, for having me on. I understand you might let me play at your party coming up Monday night.
You are obligated to play at my party coming up.
You know, Chris, you don't know what it's like being a banjo player out there, and you're a guitarist, too, I'm finding out, and you're still nice to me, because if I take my banjo in with a circle of guitarists, do you know how many banjo jokes I hear in about 5 minutes? You know, my people get so picked on.
That's right.
You can't
you talk about discriminated against.
Don't blame us. We didn't make that movie Deliverance.
I've already got Facebook posts about that. You know, and that song was used illegally in that movie.
Is that right?
Yeah, the guy, the banjo guy that sued him.
He sued him
and got some damages for royalties. Yeah, Burt Reynolds, those guys were stealing things.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't do Polish jokes anymore, right?
Right.
You can't do any, but you know, banjo players are the last people you can politically
correctly
pick on.
Especially if you're a Christian banjo player. Yes. There you go, yeah.
And well, I have an Irish name, too.
Maybe we can get the Pope to take up your cause.
Yeah. Put tech right on the climate change.
I need help.
Yeah.
My wife tells me that all the time.
I've heard that tune over and over again.
You know, Grant, I'm Slovak, and that's just a slower Polak.
Oh, okay.
That is Dr. Kinvey.
Chalk that one up. I'm going to get fired again.
Welcome back to the show, 407-774-8255, or welcome to the show. If you're just now joining us, the big news today is... What is the big news today? Oh, that's right. Johnny Boehner's going to be leaving town come Halloween. Well, so what? All right. The bigger news is all the Donald Trump Halloween masks are sold out.
Right, there's a waiting list.
So, anyway, welcome to the show. 407-774-8255 as we come to you from the Mercury Free Studio Complex. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. All right, I'm Christopher Hart. Let's see, we got Dr. K. Kid, here I am. And he's going to give us an update on his saga from his place of employ.
You want to talk about that, huh?
Yeah, we'll get to that. We also have Amapola Hansberger and Chris Kassler of Legal Immigrants for America in the studio with us today. And, of course, they got a big event coming up prior to our spaghetti eating contest, where Grant is going to be playing Monday night live at Cafe Positano. Live at Cafe Positano Monday night. You are all welcome to come out and join us. You might want to make a reservation. It's not required, but if you want to, 407-774-8080 is the number at Cafe Positano, and the reservation book is getting filled, so don't wait if you want to make a reservation. But come on out anyway. We'll make room for you. Spaghetti eating contest will be kicking off at 6:30. It's going to be a riot, and we'll be having a lot of fun all night long, and obviously with Grant there playing the banjo, it's even going to make it that much more fun. So come on out and join us, and we'll see you there. Also, as I was saying, you have the opportunity this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, to meet and hear Pastor Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father. He'll be in town. You have a couple of opportunities to see him for free. That's Saturday at 6 and Sunday morning at 9:30 at the Aloma Church in Winter Park. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock, and I'll be attending this, you'll be able to have lunch with Pastor Cruz. And if you are a pastor, you can go for free. Just RSVP at golifa.com, G-O-L-I-F-A.com. And if you're not a pastor, it's $25. And once again, golifa.com is where you make your reservations for that. And the tickets are going. There's only a few left. So if you want to go, you better get on the ball and go ahead and make those reservations tonight. And by the way, when you come out Monday, and you'll be able to meet Grant Malloy. Grant is also running for office in Seminole County. If you live in Seminole County, we'd love you to sign one of his petitions, which will just help him get on the ballot. It doesn't commit you to any support for him, but I would love for you to support Grant. You will not find a more capable person of being your court clerk in Seminole County, because it will give him the opportunity to oversee how your money is spent in Seminole County. Pretty good idea, especially if you want a conservative to overlook how that money is spent and try to help make sure it's not wasted. And Grant, once again, kudos to you for running. You were a Seminole County commissioner for a while. A lot of the people in Seminole County still know and respect you. And you're doing this because the current holder of that office is resigning. And
retiring.
Retiring.
She's retiring.
Yeah, it's different than resigning. And how can people help you out?
Well, petitions are one of the things that we definitely need. If you go to our website, grantmalloy.com, you can get a PDF of that, print one out, and mail it in. So that's grantmalloy.com. And you'll see my website there, all my information on how to contact me. So that would be a great way to help out. And then, you know, other than that, we need people to help knock on their neighbors' doors and, you know, help join us in the campaign. So we're doing all of that, doing festivals, farmers markets, getting these petitions. It takes about 3,000 to get on the ballot. So it's actually easier. I think governor of California requires 35. You know, we need 3,000 for a county office. So it takes a lot of work, but it's nice getting out and seeing
people.
So
that's how Jerry Brown got in out
there.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah. But I appreciate your kind words, and it is an important office. It does a lot of different functions. It's amazing how much the clerk of the court really affects you, everything from sheriff to property appraiser, county commission, or tax dollars. Just a lot of things the office does. So you have to have somebody that's independent, will do what's right, not play games. And I think I can offer that. I have a track record of integrity and, you know, following promises.
Absolutely. And,
yeah, you do.
And he was, as I said, he's a former member of the Seminole County Commission. So he has experience. He knows county government. And he knows also how to watch out for your money.
Right. I think you need to lead by example. One of the things I did is I opted out of the state pension system. You know, and I don't know too many people that do that when they get in office. A lot of these guys, you know, they get in. And for a part-time job like a county commission, you can get a pension after 6 years. What other part-time job gives you that? And I thought that was wrong. So I opted out of it. And that one decision saved taxpayers over $100,000. So I think you should lead by example. And that's, you know, what I plan to do as clerk of the court, too, lead by example.
You're one of them Dan Webster types who tries to actually save our money and give it back.
Right, right. Yeah, I never filed a travel voucher at the county, you know, that some of these people are traveling around. I know of politicians that have charged taxpayers for washing their car. That's how petty it gets, while they're making a good salary. So, you know, we need to lead by example and spend the tax dollars like it's our own and not like it's some sort of... you know, monopoly money we came across.
So if you want somebody that will spend your tax dollars, you know, the way they should be spent, make sure they're spent the proper way. Grant Malloy is your guy. I just wish he was running in Orange County. And then we could do the same thing down there.
Oh, thanks, Chris. And thanks for letting me play the banjo, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Any banjo-plucking guy like Grant ought to be in office.
Yep.
Talk about shaking him up. All right, and, you know, we got that caller before the break, Chris and Amapola, about, you know, and he makes a good point. You know, on the surface of it, Barack Obama and this administration is, over the next year and a half, going to bring in tens of thousands. And Kerry made it very clear today that 10,000 is the minimum from Syria alone that we're going to be bringing here over the next year. Supposedly legal. Your job just got sort of doubled up, didn't it?
Of course. Well, they've been bringing people in chartered planes for the last 7 years anyway.
Well, it actually started before that. Matter of fact, George Bush brought people out of Iraq.
That's true.
Here. And a lot of them deserved to get, because they would have been killed if they had stayed there.
I think that's a slightly different situation.
Exactly. And that's why I say Barack Obama is taking essentially a necessary program where we can provide haven for guys like Gil. Shahzad Gil. He's here basically on the same program.
But he's been qualified. We know who he is.
So guess who's going to miss out because we're going to be bringing in these people? People who are really qualified, who should the program should be there for, are going to be the ones who get hurt in this initially. All of us are going to get hurt in the long run.
You mean we're not making sure they're the best and brightest coming in?
How can you?
Well, we've already got numerous Christians who are being denied access and asylum.
Right.
Being deliberately excluded from this program.
Right.
And the other thing about the numbers, we don't know what the numbers are. I mean, this government lies to us about unemployment figures and everything else. I mean, so how do we know? They say 10,000 could be 50, it could be 100. We don't know for sure. Who's counting?
All right. All right, swing that mic around here. We got to take a break, and I'm going to let Grant take us into the break. So,
start.
There you go. All right, folks, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Hee-haw!
That's right.
We're having a blast, and it's going to continue Monday night, Cafe Positano. Come out and see us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, where we have converted over to country, western, and bluegrass. That's right. Got Grant Malloy picking away on the banjo here today, wearing his Ralph Stanley for shirt, for president shirt. Ralph Stanley, the banjo plectrum peccanini.
Oh, man. Say that three times fast.
Plectrum peccanini. I got that from Miss Hathaway on the Beverly Hillbillies. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Thanks for being with us. And, of course, Grant is going to be playing with us on Monday at Cafe Positano for our Spaghetti Eating Challenge.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get back to the phone lines, last Friday, Dr. K came in here with his own travails, if you will. He got called in on the carpet.
I got sent to the principal's office.
To UCF or something he said in one of his classes.
That's the thing. I didn't even say it. It wasn't me.
What do you mean it wasn't you?
I repeated what was said.
Well, who said
student,
it?
By the students.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, but where I supposedly failed the system was not was by not stopping and addressing that was incorrect speech.
But it goes deeper than that.
It goes deeper. First off, let me thank everyone out there for all your support, all your prayers. I want to thank my students because there's a petition going around UCF that I think has about 10,000 signatures on it right now.
To keep you?
To keep me.
Yeah. Whatever got into their sick minds to do
know.
That?
I have no idea. Because I don't have that much money. I don't know how that happens.
Dr. K has been a professor at UCF for 15 years teaching psychology. One of his intro to psychology classes. Now, these classes normally have, what, about 300 or 400 people in them?
416 in this one.
In this students, right. Yeah. And they teach them in an auditorium.
Yep.
And one thing that Dr. K said one student took exception to. She took it to the administration. The administration promised to do something about it, offered to put that student in a different class, and what did the student say?
No, I'm having too much of a good time in that class, and I'm learning a lot.
Oh, that's an oxymoron.
My department chair, who's completely supportive, is sitting there going, "This makes absolutely no sense." I'm like, "Yes, because I didn't do anything wrong. We didn't say anything wrong."
Well, and behold, he comes in here today blaming it on me.
I did. It was one of those things that was mentioned in passing.
Mentioned in passing. What do you mean by mentioned in passing?
That someone was, making allusions to the fact that, if you weren't on this Rebel radio show.
Oh, no. What other radio shows are you doing?
I'm not.
Because I can't be talking about this one.
I'm searching my brain. I don't remember doing any in my sleep, so I think I talked about this one. But they were afraid that the viewpoints that are expressed here on this radio station may be making it into the classroom.
Wow.
And I say, no. I lean really, really far to the other side when I'm in the classroom.
So they even listen to us on UCF campus,
I'm telling you. Well, my students
go Knights.
Yeah, that's it. My students do because, hey, we're going to dial in and listen to hear what you have to say.
Well, I'll tell you what, if any of your students are out there listening right now, you guys got one of the best professors that you'll ever get at UCF, period. I'm a graduate. I know.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm humbled by all the outpouring of support that I've received, and it's really cool to watch the administration or this other person that thinks that they're in charge of a lot of stuff just kind of withdraw and back down, and it's just like, it's going to go away.
And this is the lesson for the Boehners and the McConnells out there.
Yeah.
You stand up for what's right. You don't care if you're guaranteed a victory.
Nope.
As a matter of fact,
fight the fight.
It takes people of fortitude and wisdom to stand up in the face of defeat and figure out how to win still. And if you can't do it, Mr. McConnell, you can take the same road out of town that Johnny B is going to be taking. Let's go to Don. Don, thank you for calling. We appreciate you holding so long.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Hey, listen,
First of all, do you love banjo music?
Oh, absolutely. I love bluegrass.
Love bluegrass.
Good.
All right.
Good deal. And you're tuned into the right station today.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Grew up in East Tennessee where that stuff originated.
Okay.
Yeah. But listen, what I'd like to see you guys do is get Dan Webster on the phone.
We intend to.
And ask him before you bring him on, ask him to come with a list of congressmen that we can either write or call and make sure we have the right telephone number and addresses to get a hold of these guys.
Right.
To see if we can get a hold of some people who are on the fence that might be able to pull him into voting for Dan Webster instead of Kevin McCarthy or whatever that guy's name is.
Well, the first thing that I thought about today when I heard about this is it was that we need to get a hold of the great folks over at Dan Webster's office who've been so great in helping us getting him on the show before, and guys like Elizabeth and Cynthia over there, and have them help us get him back on the line and to do just that. But real quick, Grant, what, now you're in politics, so what would be the most effective way for us here in Central Florida to help Dan Webster?
Well, just burn the phones up, you know. I don't know how the politics works inside that machine up there in D.C.
Does anybody?
Yes. You know, but, you know, I know Dan hasn't been there as long as some of the other congressmen, so that might put him at a disadvantage. And there's some question where his district's going to be, so that might put him at a disadvantage.
Right.
But then again, you know, if he's only going to be, let's assume it's going to be a bad district for him to get reelected in, it still wouldn't be a bad idea to have him as speaker for, you know, to finish this term out.
Absolutely.
He's going to have that courage. No, he's done this before. He was the Speaker of the Florida House, and he did a great job. You know, the thing that impressed me about him is he had his I think it was like five or so principles that every bill had to have before it would even get heard.
Right.
You know, it couldn't expand government. It had to protect your constitutional rights and things like that. So he led by example there. So I think he'd make a great speaker. So burn the phones up is what I would say. Have everybody call.
In the meantime, just call anybody and everybody in the congressional district here in the Central Florida area and give them an earful. Thank you, Don. We appreciate you being out there. All right. I hope you haven't gotten an earful yet because we got another half hour to go. We'll be on AM660TheAnswer.com. Rick, I want to definitely take your phone call when we come back because it says Rick-Banjo. We'll definitely take that call. Stay around with us, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
Junction.
I was thinking about that show just the other day.
I wanted to be in that water tower.
Oh, I'm telling you what. You remember that? Billy Joe and
Bobby Joe and Betty Joe.
Billy Joe, Bobby Joe, and Betty Joe. Absolutely.
We play that song in our band. We actually do.
Is that right? I want to hear it Monday then. Because, you know, I was thinking,
Cannonball.
You know, with Joe Biden come along, we got to have a nickname for him. And I was thinking, you know, Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe, he's moving kind of slow.
Remember for Uncle Joe Junction. From Petticoat Junction,
that's
right? Always kind-hearted but stupid as a stump.
That always amazed me when that happened, when he got selected as a VP, because there was this whole campaign. All you heard was hope and change, hope and change. And then they select for VP a guy that's been in D.C. since Richard Nixon was president. Literally. He's never left.
Nope.
He's been there since 72 or so.
His whole
life.
He's
so out of touch, you know. How's this hope and change? It's not change at all. But
well, he's
much.
Been there so long, he started recycling all the other politicians' speeches, if you'll remember.
That's right.
Mr. Plagiarism, they used to call him.
That's right. But as one of our phone callers did point out earlier in the show, the Bloomberg poll, I think it was, I had the results. Maybe I got them still here from yesterday. Oh, I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking for them. If this page is not them, we'll just move on. Well, no, it was a Quinnipiac poll. Quinnipiac poll that showed that of all the Republicans, only Carson ties him. Everybody else loses to Biden right now.
Right now, really?
The Democrats got them a whole big problem with Hillary and all of that sort of thing going on over there.
Yeah, but the problem with these polls is, and I've said it before, that this is way too early in the political season for the average American to really care. So when they're doing the polls and they're saying, "Would you get Biden or Carson?" A lot of people are probably thinking it's Johnny.
You were going to say something, Greg.
Well, I predicted early on, I don't think Hillary could get elected. And I still stick by that because people want to vote for somebody that's friendly, that's likable. I mean, and Obama has that image.
He sure does.
Hillary does not. She comes across as kind of an angry person. I think that's one of her biggest things. And I think her staff is doing it right. She's not doing, she's
keep
not
her out of the public eye.
Keep her out of the public, keep her out of debates, and just have everything orchestrated. And that's what she's been doing.
Yeah.
And that's her only hope to get through this cycle.
We can call her stealth.
The stealth campaign. I said something very similar. I said every time she opens her mouth, people like her less. So you just try to keep her mouth shut. That whole Scooby van, all that business, showing up at Chipotle in dark glasses like she's on a lamb or something. Yeah. Maybe she was just getting some practice in.
Well, I'll give her credit, though. When she was at Chipotle, she was not reaching over the sneeze guard like Obama. You remember him?
Yes, that's right.
Where it has a big sign, do not, over the sneeze guard. And he's like, my daughter worked there. She's like, when people do that, they get in trouble. But they didn't. Right. They didn't slap his hand when Obama was reaching.
Of course not.
Or was his manners. But Hillary did not reach over the sneeze guard.
Well, good for Hillary.
As a community organizer, he's probably trying to organize the trays behind the sneeze trays.
Yeah, need to move them onions over there.
Yep, that's it.
That's not bad.
Yeah, pretty good.
All right, we're here. We're live until 7 o'clock. 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, if you're a high school football fan, you'll get no better than the Apopka Blue Darters. And the coverage kicks off at 7 when we go off the air. Up the dial at our sister station, 1520 WBZW. And Roger Franklin Williams, who's a friend of yours, Grant.
And Roger, a long time. Good guy.
Yeah, he and Joe Ferrero are going to be calling the game tonight. Roger does the play-by-play. Joe chimes in with the color, if you will. And I one thing I like about, not just the fact that it's great high school football, but with Roger Franklin Williams, he throws in these little tidbits during the game about the history of football here in Florida and stuff. And I tell you, he's got his mind's like an encyclopedia.
It is. And did you know his dad was a principal there for a long time?
At Apopka,
High, So his family goes way back in Apopka, so he has a lot of that knowledge, institutional knowledge.
Did his mom teach there too or something like that?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know they are old-time Apopka family.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And Roger Franklin Williams Boulevard in Apopka is named after his dad.
Right.
So, but he, he knows the history, and he's a great guy, and they do a great job calling the game. So if you like high school football or any kind of football, tune into the Apopka Blue Dadas tonight, and it'll be a lot of fun. And we were talking before the break about Dr. K's travails out to UCF, and you forwarded me an email about it was a study.
Yes.
Evidently, that had been done.
Yes, it was.
About
coddling the students of America. The coddling of America, I think, is what it was titled.
Yes.
Yes.
And how our universities are coddling these kids. And they're going to, these kids are going out into society. These are going to be the ones who you employ who ends up suing you because you said God bless you when they sneezed or something
like
that.
Exactly. And that's because, as the article points out, that these are the millennials that have never been actually given the opportunity to take responsibility for anything. And they go, and if something doesn't meet their satisfaction, their immediate recourse is to jump. Like when I was in the Navy, you were always taught you want to settle your complaints at the lowest possible level. You don't want to go all the way up the chain of command. These kids, they have no respect for that or all. They just go right up to the big people.
Well, they've come out of elementary, middle, and high school where they get the trophy just for showing up.
Right. Or they get to graduate from kindergarten, for God's sake.
Yeah. And so they've been coddled. Now they go into the university.
Yeah.
And the university is no longer a university.
No. And the professors,
because the whole idea of a university is that you get the university the universe of ideas,
yeah.
Kind of. And in the article, it talks about a number of I don't know, phenomena is the word, but like microaggression.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the victim and who was the perpetrator in, for instance, your case? Because that sounded like microaggression.
Yeah.
In other words, you say something that seems innocuous,
mm-hmm.
but somebody takes offense at it.
Right. But only one person out of the class takes offense at it.
So that was micro.
Micro.
Right.
Because I'm teaching 416.
And that's just one class.
That's one class.
Right.
Okay. And so all the 415 were like, what are they talking about?
Right.
Oh, that? Really? Because I got to tell you, my classes, I push the envelope. I have to, just like the article says, get them emotionally invested so they learn. And when I found out what the quotes were that I supposedly, you know, had brought out in class, right. I went, that's it? Really? Out of all the things I've said in my classroom, I was going to say,
you didn't give any other ammunition to the administration.
No.
You mean they didn't put down what I said?
Really?
You're supposed to, I guess, issue warnings. What do they call it?
Oh, God, a trigger warning.
Trigger warning, that's right.
Trigger warning.
Yes.
You know? Oh, this may be, oh, trigger warning. Someone out there may find it offensive. I prefer just to throw it out there and see who gets offended and then deal with it. Because as I tell the students, look, if anybody can get you upset, then here's the lesson that I try to impart. If anybody can get you emotionally off balance, they can then take you anywhere they want you to go because you're not going to be thinking clear. And you don't want to give that much power over to somebody else.
As a matter of fact, Carl Jackson, and you know Carl Grant, he talks about that a great deal, that Democrats, what they want to do is get you mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're mad, you're not thinking, or at least you're not thinking.
Right, you downshift into the emotional center of your brain, the limbic system.
Right. And of course, you being in and out of politics, you've seen that a lot.
Oh, I have one of the lessons that I learned from being in office and watching politics is I was more of a policy wonk type of guy, and I still have that. You know, that
which is why you'll make a good court clerk over there. Yeah.
And I try, you know, I love looking at these policy papers and all these, you know, Heartland Institute and James Madison Institute papers, how you can do things better. Right. Mm-hmm. But what I really realize is a lot of politics is emotion. It's probably 80%.
Right.
And when people, you know, I was when I was fighting that tax increase a while back, there was this kind of semi debate in Castleberry, and one of the mothers got up, and moms care about their kids. I totally get it. You know, mm-hmm. But she was so emotional that, like, if this didn't pass, her child wouldn't learn.
Be deprived.
It's just not true, you know?
Right.
And she even went so far to say that we need to have schools like they have in China. And in my head, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, China, like, only a certain percent go in there.
Right.
Like, 40 million families live in caves. You know, they live in caves. They have no plumbing. The government comes by and just scoops you up and hauls you away. You're never seen again.
Right.
China? We want to be like China.
We want to be like China.
But emotionally, she heard somewhere that China schools were better.
Right.
She wanted to raise taxes and have schools like China.
She probably get higher test scores in math or something like that.
So how do you really, once that happens, you can't really talk policy to her or anything because she is emotional. And that happens on politics. And they're clever at making everybody a victim.
Exactly.
And we got to go hurt somebody else. Prager talks about that
and
a lot.
Who's the one that's going to end up on the news soundbite? The one that's the most emotional.
The loudest people, the most emotional people get it.
And that's why, ever since we started this show, one of our recurring themes is that politics is like professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is on that sort of gut emotional level. It's like if your politician or your favorite wrestler is your favorite, it doesn't really matter what anybody says about them, right? Or whether their policies make sense, they're your guy. And this is something that the Clintons, I believe, are trying to use, and it's probably their only prayer, is to sell Hillary as the champion. And she uses that word over and over again because they understand what I just said. Which is that if people buy into her being her champion, they will excuse all her foibles and her crimes or whatever. Because in their mind, that's what she had to do to be my champion.
Yeah.
So it's okay now. If the Chinese have to do that to better educate their kids, it's okay now.
Right.
You see, it's that you're dealing on that gut emotional level. And this is one thing that I've been saying, if the Republicans don't ever figure this out, they're going to keep getting shellacked.
We got to get emotional and explain why conservative policies help people.
Right.
And, you know, like the family. The family, there's less poverty with kids in an intact family, less crime, better health care.
Yep.
You know, family's important. We need to take the emotion of that and the moral high ground and point out, you know, families are good.
Yeah,
less government's good. All these things where there's more liberty, the environment's better, women are treated better. There's charts on this. The countries the most economic freedom have the best life for the citizens.
Yeah. Well, Grant, I've got to disagree with you. I agree wholeheartedly, but I have to interject here. I ran into a young lady this week who, when we were talking politics, and she had planned on voting for Hillary, and here's why. I asked her what she knew of her, and she didn't know a thing.
Right.
I asked her if she knew about her being Secretary of State. She said, "What's that?" I asked her if she knew about the Benghazi. She said, "No." I said, "Well, why are you voting for Hillary?" "Well, her husband did a good job, didn't he?"
Yeah, I've heard that.
I've heard that.
I'm baffled that this is the level that you're going to see going into to the booth.
Yeah, it is.
It is scary.
But you know who was real good at interjecting the emotion into the conservative argument? Reagan.
Yeah, Reagan had a passion about it.
Yeah.
He could explain freedom.
And he would bring in
hope.
Exactly.
He was real hope.
He was real.
Yeah, he was the real deal thing. Yeah. And he would bring in real people. Like, he started the practice of, I believe, at the State of the Union, having real citizens in the audience and introducing them as part of the State of the Union is to tell their story to make his point.
And now they've become props.
It's become big, it was used because it's still effective, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's effective because it does interject that level of that air, if you will, of sympathy, empathy with that person, which now you've opened the door to the emotion, to the heart.
Yeah.
And once you can get in there, man, you can sew up that deal and for good. All right. That segment is going to be sewed up. How about taking us out here, Grant, with a little more picking and grinning? That's Grant Malloy, folks. Don't forget, you can hear him, you can meet him, you can sign his petition to get him on the ballot in Seminole County Monday at our Spaghetti Eating Challenge at Cafe Positano. Don't forget, if you want to make a reservation, call him at 407-774-8080. We'll be right back.
That's good. You know, remember, this brings me back to like the Fred Drucker's store, you know, and Cora, the Maxwell House coffee lady, you know, who was also the Wicked Witch of the West.
How about Ernie Flatten or Scruggs? Earl Scruggs? And
Scruggs, yeah.
Flatten Scruggs.
Everybody's on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
You know, doing your gazintas.
Now, it was Scruggs who played the banjo, right?
Right, yeah, Earl Scruggs.
Yeah, he lived a long time.
He did. I think there's a lot less stress when you're a banjo player, so you look at Ralph Stanley. He was touring at 86.
Well, you got one less string on that thing, you know.
It doesn't work you out as much.
Yeah.
as Grant mentioned earlier, I play a little bit of guitar. And I picked up a banjo for a while and toyed around with it. And I could get used to the five strings, you know, with my fret fingers. But the picking, with your picking fingers,
right.
I couldn't get used to that.
Yeah, and there's actually about eight different types of rolls. You know, the forward roll is the most common.
So you have to actually use the particular methods.
Yeah, but it's just after a while, it's just like driving a car.
Yeah,
you know, and it, in reality, you don't even think about the right hand after a while.
Right, right.
It's just automatic. But there's a forward roll, continuous roll, you know, backwards roll. There's other ones, Osborne roll.
All right.
Sure your listeners want to hear about
it. Well,
everybody tuned out.
There you go. I can hear the switches getting turned off as we speak.
Real quick, Dr. K has been showing us during the breaks something. Where can people find this?
Right, you go on YouTube. And look for, it says, aggressive Muslims throwing away food and water that was given to them because they were hungry.
Yeah, these are Muslims who are the migrants.
The migrants, yeah.
These poor souls that we're supposed
to
help out.
Starving on a train.
Right. So if people bring them food and they threw it away, why did they throw it away?
Because it had a Red Cross on it.
Ah.
It's being donated by the Red Cross.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not halal.
Yeah,
gotta throw it away.
All right, let's go to Don, who just gave us a call. Don, thanks for being out there. And your call, please.
Hey, I've got a great idea as to what we can do to help Dan Webster.
What's that?
Ooh, good.
I'm going to call my sisters, my brothers, my cousins, and aunts and uncles, and nieces and nephews. They've got in different parts of the country.
Oh, yeah.
And let them know to call their congressman and tell their congressman that this guy in Orlando is a great, godly Christian man, good guy, and they need to support him.
Well, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea.
Call everybody on your Christmas card list.
Yeah, and we need
and email them.
Yeah, and here locally, I think the two that we can work on are Bill Posey on the coast and John Micah here. I think Bill Posey probably would be open to Dan Webster. What do you think?
I think so. They're like-minded, and Posey's more of a gutsy guy. You know, he'll go against the establishment quite a bit.
Micah, I don't know. He's probably going to be more of your establishment guy and want to support McCarthy, you think?
Probably. Didn't Posey vote for Webster last time?
I think so.
I think he did.
Yeah, when you're talking about a year ago when the challenge came up.
I don't think Micah did.
No, he did not. He did not. And so at least here locally, Don, we should probably start putting pressure on John Micah. And I'll get his local office number here, and we'll announce that on the show next week and start working him over. Because he's probably been there long enough that he's got some allies that if he were to go along with Webster, maybe he could pull another vote or two with him. But it's probably going to be an uphill battle with Micah, but that's why we need to engage in it. We need to let him know. You know, you need to back Dan Webster. And if he doesn't, well, if you're in his district, maybe you might want to take that into consideration at the next election. But that's a great idea. You get with our family and friends around. Yeah. All right.
By three votes in January, only lost by three votes. So, you know, a few telephone calls could make a big difference.
It sure could. All right. Great idea, Don. Appreciate you throwing it out there. And we'll bring it up to the audience once again next week. All right. Okay. I don't know if we have any time for any more phone calls tonight. So we'll just go to this story here. Did you hear about the EPA and their taste for fine furniture?
No.
Yeah.
Enlighten me, please.
They have, over the last few years, bought up $92 million worth of new furniture. That is at an average of $6,000 per employee in the EPA. They employ almost 15,000 people. So each one of them basically would have gotten a $6,000 budget for new furniture. And they're not going down to IKEA.
Okay,
and getting the particle board stuff, right? They're going to the fine furniture stores.
Like Thompsonville.
Chairs, desks,
Ethan Allen.
Tables made out of real wood, like hickory.
Real press wood?
Probably. I don't know. Maybe even some of the same wood that they busted Gibson guitars on.
So they're not recycling and reusing furniture.
No.
They're not being responsible with the environment.
And guess where some of this furniture is winding up?
Their homes.
No. Well, that would be bad, too. But at least then it would be getting used.
Dan Rostenkowski's basement.
In warehouses. Warehouses.
Really?
Warehouses.
Just stored,
they have spent, huh? you heard of the, what was it, the $500 toilet seat or something like that?
$300.
I've actually
seen the bill for one.
They are buying pencil drawers for $814.
They're using pencils. So.
They're in the Stone Ages.
Yeah.
All right, so that's just your government at work. And we can do something about it. We are given opportunities. Today is a great opportunity with Boehner announcing his resignation, whatever it is, resigning, retiring, whatever. We have an opportunity in this election coming up. not only on the national level, but on the local level. Guys like Grant Malloy, we can make a huge difference in our life at the local level by electing the right people, and Grant Malloy is the right people.
And that's one of the biggest misunderstandings about politics. You have to start at the grassroots level. You've got to start. You have more control over your local politicians, so get out there and vote for them. Support them. Get involved.
All right, take us out of here, Grant. Night, everybody.
Have a good one. I'm back at UCF. Woo!
Peaching Contest Monday, Cafe Post.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs.